Adeed Dawisha is an Iraqi-born political scientist, the author of A New History of Arab Nationalism in the 20th Century, and an advocate of a U.S. assault on the regime of Saddam Hussein. Professor Dawisha, when we hear about Iraqi Kurds, Turkmen, Assyrians, refugees longing to return to oil-rich Kirkuk, it raises concerns among some that what might follow a war in Iraq would be a season of settling old scores, instability, opportunism on the part of Iraq's neighbors. Could Iraqi society actually hold together?
The first period after the assault will be difficult for the United States and its troops. It needs to be very vigilant at keeping these groups apart. There would be particularly a kind of a settling of scores on the part of the Iraqi population as a whole, regardless of its ethnic identity, against Saddam Hussein. That's when the real problem will occur in the first, say, 2-3 weeks. So the Americans have to be very vigilant in keeping the peace. After that, I honestly don't think it's going to be much of a problem. There has not been any indication from any of the groups that they actually want independence. They are quite content to live in a united Iraq, except that they want to have a kind of a better redistribution of resources, which will happen if we create a federal system in Iraq.
And what about the neighboring countries? Turkey seems to be interested in having some military presence in the north of Iraq. We're not on the best of terms with Iran, which has an interest in the southern part of Iraq, where many are Shiite Muslims. Will they show similar restraint?
Well, as far as Turkey is concerned, its main concern is that the Iraqi Kurds to the north of Iraq will not seek outright separation. As long as the Kurds accept that they would live in a united federated Iraq, the Turks will not try any kind of military adventure in Iraq. They've said that very clearly. And the Kurds, in fact, in Iraq do accept and do recognize that. When it comes to the south, the Iraqi Shiites, in fact, are Arabs. They have proved themselves to be loyal to the concept of Iraq. During the 8 years' war with Iran, the Iraqi armed forces, at least the rank and file of the armed forces, consisted of 80% belonging to the Shiite sect. And we don't have any reports of the Shiites who were fighting in that war, fighting with anything but loyalty for the Iraqi state.
Can you reconcile a seeming contradiction, at least? On the one hand, one hears great optimism that Iraq is not only a plausible case for democratization with some assistance, but actually a very natural and good case for democratization. On the other hand, this terrible recent tradition of coups and dictators culminating in Saddam Hussein.
If one looks at Iraqi history, one can hardly say that it was a thriving democracy. However, one can also look at certain periods in Iraqi history where there was what I would call a nascent democratic experiment. During the monarchy from 1921 to 1958, Iraq was a constitutional monarchy. There was a functioning parliament. There were political parties. Some of them were opposition parties with very impressive mass following. There was indeed a kind of a nascent democracy that any democratic experiment after this assault on the regime can draw on in order to build a democratic system in Iraq.
There's something else that Iraqis I've interviewed over the past few months very often remark on, which is the degree to which Iraqi society is urbanized and the degree of education of the Iraqi population. There's a sense among Iraqis that there's a lot of talent there. There are human resources to draw upon. And they will contrast that with other countries in the region.
This has been something that I've always argued, because given that the Iraqi situation occurred almost immediately after the Afghani situation, people tend to kind of compare the two. The comparisons do not pertain. This is a country in which something like 75% of the population live in urban areas. There is a very powerful and strong and thriving and highly educated middle class. I'm told that at the University of Baghdad, for example, over 60% of the students are indeed female. This is a highly educated society. The middle class is thriving and indeed secular. And the tradition in Iraq has been since 1921 is of separation of the state from religion. And so I am kind of optimistic that with the right commitment by the United States, with certainly help by the international community, the institution of a democratic system in Iraq is not impossible. Indeed, I would not even say it is very difficult.
Explain to a skeptical American listening to us right now where the role for the U.S. is required here. That is, if it's an educated, urbanized country that is laboring under a horrible dictatorship that's so unpopular, why can't it rid itself of this regime without requiring a U.S. invasion?
Because Iraq today is probably one of the most terrorized and brutalized countries in the world. It is said in Iraq that out of every three households, one household has a member of the household been detained, tortured, killed, imprisoned by Saddam Hussein's regime. This regime, along with its supporters of maybe, you know, in the thousands, have literally held an entire population hostage to its will and to its whim. Asking the Iraqis to rid themselves of Saddam Hussein is like asking someone who is sinking to swim to shore before you can help them.
Professor Dawisha, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Adid Dawisha is professor of political science at Miami University in Ohio, and he's the author of Arab Nationalism in the 20th Century, From Triumph to Despair. He spoke to us from member station WMUB in Oxford, Ohio.